Okay. Okay, so this week, Mitzvah, we learn Parshas Mishpatim, which contains in it many, many mitzvahs. A lot of the mitzvahs are in the category we call today civil law, business law, tort, or the buying, selling, borrowing, lending, damages, things along those lines. And I'd like to look at one halachic principle that comes up based on a pasuk in the Sedra, which is applied in many, many different areas, even areas beyond what the Midrash presents in the Sedra. That's going to have the Chumash lifetime as a full Tanakh, I think. Yeah. It says in Parashas Mishpatim, in Parak Chof Gimel of Shmos Pasuk Beis, Torah says, ostensibly talking about situations related to courts and Bezdin, it says, okay, don't follow, I'm going to read the translation here, don't put your lot in, so to speak, with the following the rabbin to do evil. And don't get in a situation after, together with a large number in order to, for the purpose of perverting justice. Very strange, difficult puzzle to explain. But the phrase, Acharei Rabim Lahatos, is taken by Chazal and Darshan in a number of places out of context. In other words, it has to do with, offhand, it doesn't have anything to do with any halakhic area. It's saying that Bezdin, you look at Rashi, Rashi explains what the situation is in a court, because that's the, you know, that's the context. They follow majority and so on. Basically, we understand in the halakhic terminology that the phrase Acharei Rabim Lahatos has come to mean majority rules. We follow the majority. So in halakha, we have a principle of Azlinan Bosor Ruba, Rove, okay, and it applies to a great many situations, and at least in some situations, it seems we learned out from this phrase, Acharei Rabim Lahatos. If we take a look, there's the Gemara in Chulin, on the first paragraph of Masechet Chulin. Let's just clarify. The principle of Rove, of following the majority of cases, the majority of situation, or what usually takes place, has actually a principle that's applied when you have no other means of verifying what the situation is. We have a suffix, there's a doubt about something. We'll see some examples presently. And we have to make a determination. And the determination is made based on the either decision or the precedent of the rove or the presence of the of what is understood to be a majority. Either a majority of the situation, or majority, a natural majority. Again, we're going to see different examples. But that's what that's the thing. The thing when it comes to a mixture, what's called the tarovis, the area of the food, the prohibited food, and non-prohibited, you know, traditional food that get mixed up in a pot. Later on, you can extend that to the milk that gets mixed up in a pot. You know, the rules aren't always exactly parallel. But anyway, all of this traces itself back to this process, the Yukoferach of Gimel taste. So the first paragraph I said is cool. You know, we have another halachic principle that we also apply in this case, and that's called a chazakah. Chazakah, also a very, very complicated term to explain and many, many applications of it. I think in the Encyclopedia Talmudas, they're not off the road yet, they're off the race, but they have on Ches. I think half an entire volume is just on chazakah. That's only different types of samples there are, and cases there are, and so on. So, the Gemara in the beginning of Chulin discusses in the first part of Chulin discusses, well, how do we know halacha that there is such a concept of chazaka? Chazaka means we make an assumption based on what has been until now. Right? I'm oversimplifying, but whatever has been until now, we assume that's the situation now as well, right? Unless we have reason to assume that the situation changed. That's chazaka. The Gemara has a whole discussion of how do we know from where in the Torah we see that the chazaka can be a machriya, can tell us what the, you know, what the halacha is taught. And then after that, on the Yud Aleph and Aleph, the Gemara goes on to explain, to ask, well, how do we know that the concept of rove is a acceptable means of making a decision? Then we discuss what happens to the conflict. The rove points you one way, the chazaka points you the other way. And these are major, major areas of halacha discussion. But the Gemara in Chulin, Yud Aleph and Aleph, says, where is it? What is the makka? What's the source of this principle that zil basa ruba? You go after the rove, you follow, you make halakhic decisions based on the rove.
Rashi explains Rashi, this question was asked, you know, based on the previous discussion in the Gemara about the Chazaka. Okay, the Chazaka is discussed that the first Perek of Chulin is talking a lot about Shechita. Okay, so we have in the realm of Shechita certain Chazakas. We assume that this is the status of the animal still now, and we know that it changed based on Shechita. So many times the Chazaka comes into effect there. That's what came up. And so now they talk about rope, which we have also in the area of Shechita. Okay, for example, we have the concept of rov mitzvah of Shechita mumchanei. How do we know that the shochet, shechta, the guy's a shochet, he has to get his permit, you know, has to know how to be a shochet, but once he does, isn't it possible that he was older, maybe forgot to feed him, and so on, so here we're all eating on the basis of this. If you have to have a monthly test, a yearly test, every time chef gets somebody, what's that? Yeah, continue ahead, exactly. So, that's the question, which, you know, we say, rov mitzvah, it's a shechita mumchanei. The majority of people undertake to do shechita are experts, otherwise you wouldn't get involved. If you were with observances, you wouldn't get involved, you know how to do it, right? Rov mitzvah, it's a shechita mumchanei. Or, we have another area of rov, okay, rov behemos ksherasei. You know, there's a certain number of animals that are treif. Okay, now a treifa means, there's a certain physical defects on the inside of the animal, which render the animal treifa. Certain punctures, some make devices, some dabarim, but there's certain punctures or lesions in the inner body of the animal. So how do I know when I shech the animal and so on, or even, you know, maybe there's some treifa, there's some. But the answer is we have a rule, rove, behemoth, ksheira, the most animals are not, right? So we can rely on that, unless we have reason to believe it's not the case. See, that the not. No. Well, for glot is a chumah, yes. Glot is a chumah. Glot is a chumah. Glot is to make sure there are absolutely no even reasons that wouldn't necessarily render a traitor. Okay, which is chumah, yes. Yeah, that's what glot kosher. Glot kosher. Glot, really, the word glot means smooth. Okay, what? Well, again, the people want to be stringent. So but applying the term, yeah, applying the term glot kosher, anything but animals, you know, but there's talk about the glot kosher fish. You know, it's a misnomer. Glot kosher sukkah, or glot kosher fruit, glot kosher sukkah, you know, tzach, right? That's just, you know, it's a misnomer. But, yeah.
You don't have to check along.
So depends. Certain things you have not. Certain things you do have to check. There are certain reasons which would render a trace of course everybody, not even the top would be good at all. You have to know in each case.
It's
the absence of other information. Okay, the absence of other information. That's what I'm saying. The absence of other information is Tomech on Rove. Okay, but if we can ascertain any other information, and that's a further question, how far do you have to go to ascertain that? How much? That's not for us. I'm just trying to give an example. But in any event, Gemara asks, so where do we see Manoah, this meal, where do we see it? So now, right off the bat, the Gemara here in Chulin, I'll distinguish these two types of situations. This is called Ruba de Issa Kama. There's a rove where the rove is evident. The rove is obvious. It's clearly right. Ruba de Issa Kama. The Gemara says, Ruba de Issa Kama to go and test Chanuyo, the Sanhedrin, Lo Kama Boyalo. That's obvious because the Gemara, the Gemara asked the question again. Start again. The Gemara says, Menohan mil sam rabbanu zuba surubas. The Gemara says, Menohan, dichsiv achar abba hatzav. Our pasuk says, you follow the rove. What's the Gemara asking? The parish of pasuk that says, you make a determination based on the rove. So why in the world is the Gemara asking, how do we know that the rove is a valid way of making a decision? The answer is the pasuk and chumash. The parish makes both of them. Our parish. The Gemara says, no. Lehatos, you follow. When told to follow, yeah. You follow the rope. Whatever it is, whatever the rope indicates. In Aramaic, it's called Zil Basaruba. You go after the rope. So you follow the rope. So the Gemara says, why are you asking me? It's supposed to come to us. One second. When you're talking about a Ruba, the Issa Kamon, Kagon, Teisha, Chanus, and Hedon, Lo, Kalboila. I'm not asking about that. That we know. What is Ruba, the Issa Kamon? Kagon, Teisha, Chanus. What's that? That's the famous story. You have 9 stores. Kulon, Mochos, Tisar, Shkuta. You have in the neighborhood on a block on whatever your equivalent of Cedar Lane is, you have 10 butcher stores. 9 of them sell kosher meat. Okay? The Achas Machares the Tarnavel, one says non kosher meat. Okay? The nimsa basamar, if you find a piece of meat, you know, somewhere on the street there, so which store did it come from? If it has a label, a sticker, it's okay, one thing. There's no way to tell. It's just wrapped in a, you know, a white wrapping or whatever they wrap it in. It's a plastic. So somebody can't tell where it came from. So halacha is, in such a case, halech acharo. You can follow the road. You can assume that that piece of meat is kosher. Do I know 150,000% that it's kosher? I don't. It's possible that it came from the non-kosher. So you are allowed to go eat it. So, yes, okay. But anyway, this example of market, you follow the road. Now, there's such a thing called, you know, the opposite of the road is a meal. And there's different discussions on how much you're a meal. If it's only, what is 100 stores and 51 to 49? You know, there are rules. Again, but this is, we're keeping a simple case right now, okay? So, you know, there's a meal. What if, in addition to the meal, you have a chazaka, then you can, you know, you can pull two things together. So, many, many, many issues. Like I said, there's lots of stuff. But we're trying to keep it simple. What? Mute the minority. Rove is not rove and meat are opposite. Anyway, but rove says so halacha the hot come on chazir the ruba the head tailor. So we see that's called the ruba the used to come on. We can see in front of our eyes. There are 9 kosher stores on the medical supervision, 1 trade store. Okay, so we know. So we follow the rove. You can eat that piece of meat. Or the other example again. I'll go that back. Then the Gemara says also Sanhedrin. Okay, Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin means the mission Sanhedrin. I remember actually says this on. Yud Beis Mezakim, Yud Al Mechan, in Zakai. You have a 23-man Bezin, and 12 vote to acquit, 11 vote to convict. We can see 12 voted, yeah, 11, so that's it. That's called the rule of the Easter. Come on. We can see the rules in front of our eyes, right? The text of rule. So in such a case, the guy gets acquitted, right? Yud Beis Mezakim, 12 people acquit. Yud Al Mechan, 11 convict. Zakai, he wins. He's acquitted. Goodbye. There's the Gemara. That's not what I'm talking about. That, you're right. That's derived from our prophet here. Achare Rabin, says the Gemara, keep coming by on Ruba de Lesa Kamon. Ruba de Lesa Kamon. There's nothing evident. The examples I just gave you, Rove Mitsunate of Shkita Mumchen, that's a Ruba de Lesa. We don't know. That's a, you can't, exactly. Exactly right. The animal, Rove, the famous Kshavis, that's a Ruba de Lesa Kamon. That is what we know, there's such a Rove, but that's not evident in front of us. Or even that every showcase is, you know, take the Roman citizens of Crete and Homer, or the Gemara gives a different example. You can go on Katan Uktana. As Rashi explains, this is a case, Katan Uktana. You flee Yavonale, they were married with Yavonis, sitting Yavonis. You have a Yavon Katan, right? Yavon again is a case where you have a couple gets married, the man dies, and they had no children. The halacha is that the brother of the deceased, okay, the brother of the deceased is supposed to marry the widow or perform Chalitza, right? Yibam and Chalitza. So, in any event, what if the brother of the kid, the cotton, and so on and so forth, so, or the girl, the tana, anyway, so Rashi explains, the tana, yom cotton, boy, yom tana, you delude there, in there, below, chashin, shamatim, silent, oh, who's to it? You know, there are certain defects, they won't be able to have children, and so that, and it's not just a hormone, but some kind of physical imbalance, that someone's incapable of having children, and an island that the woman never developed, the signs of physical maturity for a woman, and so on. So, in any event, the problem is, if it turns out that they do this, this quote unquote, this marriage, whatever marriage, has katana, but maybe when they grow older, it'll turn out that one of them or both of them will lack certain physical qualities that make a marriage valid. In which case, you're in violation. Ordinarily, let's say my brother marries a woman, so I'm not allowed to. That's one of the arayas. It's one of the prohibited sexual relationships. They're called eishes ach. Okay. Eishes Ach. Here, the law of Yibum, so to speak, overrides Eishes Ach. On the side, close to marriage, the mitzvah to marry, but it's otherwise the prohibition. But it's only a mitzvah if it's a mitzvah. Because if you're going to fulfill the mitzvah, then you're going to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. But if they don't fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum, not because the son couldn't have children, sometimes it happens, but this is physically, whatever. So the answer is, so it says, so yeah, so that's the discussion. Exactly. So it says, El Amin Zilbos, the rogue, Tanan, the Amo, the Anam, see. Most people are okay when they grow up. That's an example of a rule, but the less that comes, you can't tell. You have no extra vision. There's no way to tell. Right? So that's the world wants to know, where do we learn that from? Rule that used to come on like the Sanhedrin voting on something. That's about something. Okay, but the halacha that is a valid halachic principle is learned from this pasuk. But where do we learn? So there's a whole discussion, basically, the whole rest of Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, and Amud Beis, where the Gemara tries to bring different examples. We can pull from here. We can pull from there. They bring a whole bunch of different cases, Karbanis and other things. You see that the rove the robot lets the Kamam, we're allowed to do it. You can come to the Beis HaMikdash. There's all kinds of different. But at the end, the Gemara is inconclusive as to what exactly the Makar is. It works, but it's inconclusive. What's that? So Rashi on the top of your day's Amud Aleph, Pesach, okay, Rashi concludes, after all is said and done, the whole sugya where the Gemara is inconclusive, the Rashi says, basically, it's either Elavadai, Halacha Moshem Sinai, or the Samchina Ruba, okay? He says, either it's the conclusion of the Gemara, either it's Halacha Moshem Sinai, or, in other, it's also based on the same pasuk, Acher Ram Lachov. So that's the conclusion. Well, Meister, it works. Rov works. Whether it's based, Rov works both by Ruba, the Isakamon, and by a Ruba, the Lester Kamon. That's what emerges from this.
The Lester
Kamon. Yeah.
Almost inherent, but there's also a Chazaka. That's part of it. That's built because.
So the Rov of Chazaka and Rov, yes.
Calf, because there was a majority in the calf, mm-hmm. Therefore, we're going to say that the majority just now.
Right, right, okay. So,
it's the majority in front of your face. If you don't see it,
right,
it's correct.
But again, at the end of the day, for our first staff, as far as singles, we would use to come over the way. So come on. And it's concluded that both are learned from Achor Avalahatos, or just we need to come over to Achor Avalahatos and Chazok, and the other ones learned from Achor Avalahatos. Okay. So now let's move the discussion over to the case of a Tarofa. Tarofas have a mixture. Let's say kosher food and non-kosher food get mixed up together. It's a Tarofa. Okay? And the Gemara tells us there you have the following thing. The Gemara Gittin, that's Nun Dalam Abay. The Gemara really starts with one word, the Tanya, on the bottom of Nun Dalam Aleph. Then over to Nun Dalam Abay. The Gemara is talking here about Orla. Okay, now Orla is produce from a tree that grew in the first 3 years of the life of the tree, in which case you're not allowed to eat that produce. What happens if some Orla fruits get mixed up with some regular fruits on your farm, and now you're not sure that. So there are rules called bitul. Okay, there's a rule called bitul. We're familiar with the concept of bitul b'shishim. Right, if you have a ratio of 60 to 1. We're also familiar with the concept of bitul b'rov, 2 to 1. Sometimes, as long as it's 2 to 1 is good enough. Okay, certain things need more. Certain, the oil needs 200. Puma is 100. Right? There are different rules for different types of mixture. So the Gemara has, the Gemara there getting is talking about certain types of, it's called a gozik par, some type of very, very fancy nut. Certain things, the halacha, don't become batel because of their chashivas. Because batel means that it's nullified in the majority. But something stands out, then it's not nullified. What? By definition, it's not nullified. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara there distinguishes between these types of nuts before they were shelled and after they were shelled. Okay? After they were shelled, they lose their chashivas and so on. So it says like this, nothing is not to echot your echot miserable yahoo, people are very good. The Gemara says on a d'oraisa level, chad betray bato. And in fact, one of the sources for the concept of chad betray bato is also this pasuk of Acher Rav Mahato. But lechora, if we think about it for a moment, so bito, the concept of bito, so we can say that the minority, which is the prohibited food, is sort of lost. It's diluted. It's dissipated into the majority. That's also learned from Acher Rav Mahato. We need the oraisa, chad betray bato. Sometimes we need midravon. They say you need a shishim. You need more. Sometimes you need shishim deraisa too. We can all flavor. We've learned from all that now. Maybe another time. But just in no pun intended, in a nutshell, that they're talking there about the nuts. Okay. And Dover Choshev, which is called, a Chaticho Escabe, or something like that, it's not possible even 1,000 because of its inherent quality, but it's inherent importance. But anyway, if we think about it for a moment, this row of Acher Rav Bittul, Bittul Barov, Chad Vitrei Bottle, 1 and 2, it's Bottle, is a different type of row than either of the two things we discussed before, Ubudisa Kaman or Rudoisa Kaman. Okay? Because the case of Ubudisa Kaman, again, like the nine stores, the nine stores, or the Sanhedrin case, okay, that's the regular din of Rov, which is learned from Acher Rav Mahatos. Ubudisa Kaman, again, like Rov Behemoth Kseros, Rov Betinus, or Shita Mumchem, Rov children go up and are able to have children and so on, all those things. There, whatever the Makar is, either Rashi says at the end, Zidah Lachom Shusinai, or it's also learned from the same process. So that's a different type of Rov, because there, There, we're trying to nevara. It's a different type of stuff they can think about. Okay, there is a piece of meat. I don't know which store the piece of meat came from. It definitely came from one of the stores on the block. We don't know which store it came from. Okay, so now we have the right to say that it came from the roll. But when I have a mixture of, let's say, one non-kosher piece of meat in with two kosher pieces of meat, so there is no doubt that there was a non-kosher piece of meat here. There's no question about it. Everybody agrees. You see the difference in the case. I'm saying it's a different type of doubt. In other words, it's not a doubt. There's no question that one of these three pieces of meat, we know that one of these three pieces of meat is not kosher. In the case of the nine stores, there could be, it could be 100% of the company's kosher. I just don't know which store it came from yet.
Mm-hmm. Owner contributes one piece of meat to the whatever. Can a Jew now have all 10 pieces?
Oh, we have that 2 seconds. All right, look. That sounds like it. Hold on. That's different. That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's the difference. So, what? So if you have reasonable, right, that's exactly. You can tell it came from here or some kind of a, that's important. Somehow you could have some more. So all that makes a difference. But my point is like this. Usually when we say a robe is mevarer, or it's machria, this is a suffix, and the robe tells us how to behave. Okay? But here, when it comes to chag betray, the robe is going further. Okay? Because the robe seems to be saying that, and as we're about to see, again, it's a different type, it's a stronger type of robe. So now the question becomes, the question is, I was got 3 pieces of meat, or you gave 10 pieces of meat, on. Can somebody eat all 10 pieces of meat? So interestingly, the rush in Kulin, the rush makes sounding back, but the rush says in Parak Zion, in the Lamed Aleph in Kulin, okay, in the Lamed Zion, I'm sorry, Parak Zion. Listen to the language of the Rush. We'll turn to right here. And it's surprising, but he says that's the way it works. He says, we have this rule, Parak Zion in Kulin Silim on the Zion. Talks about this. Yeah, I'm not full of Parovis. So we tell us the step came to a second Parovis, this one, by the way, Avachad betray. The Dover Yavish, Tafila Bidraban and Bato, long as some fake Sharina light. Since the Rosh, we're not matter these meat because of some stuffy. Okay? Tafilu Iochale Chada Chada Leka El Chada Sveka U Sveka the Rice of the Chumah. He says, why don't we just say Sveka the Rice of the Chumah here? You're dealing with, you have 3 pieces of meat, right? One of them is not kosher, better not eat any of them. Okay, Sveka the Rice of the Rice. You know that one piece is from a nevela. Nevela means an animal that died other than 2 feet. Right. 1 second. Yeah, but he says the rule is hilda elamishum the gzeiras hakosahu the chtiv acher rabu hatos tuchah chag betray bato. The chiddush of acher hatos is it? No. The non kosher one. We don't know which one it is, but the non kosher one considered to be nullified. Listen to this. Yeah. The Napach Isser Leo's Hefer. Magic. The piece of, one of those pieces was traced, but we say, based on his halacha, that now that piece is mutter. To the point, says the Rosh, Umutter Leochlan, a person can eat all 3 of them, Afilu Kulon Kachas. You get all 3 together. The Rosh is saying, they're amazing things. The Rosh is saying, you have 3 pieces of meat, you know that one of them is non kosher. Says the Rosh, this halacha declares you can go ahead and eat all 3 pieces, even though looking back at it, you know you ate a piece. There was 1 piece of trace. You want to argue, I can eat one, you can eat another. Each one of us can say it. But here, the same guy can eat all 3 pieces of meat at once, says the Rosh. His language is Nehepach Iser Leo's Heter. The forbidden piece of meat, based on the rule of Bito, is now magic. Snap our fingers, abracadabra, and all of a sudden, this now all 3 pieces of kosher. It's unbelievable. He said, that's it. So, where am I? There's a custom. That's what he said. He said, see, that's the rule. Yes, exactly. He says, there's a custom. Now, Midrabanan hechzir b'min d'mino hechzasi yachad kodim shenot tzoroso lo nikra zayin olam shein heter. So then the Rabbanan requires 60, whatever. But it's Oraisa, the Rosh is of the opinion that Nepach Yisrael Yoteta, and that is the nature of this din. Now, this, I say, this is an astounding Kiddush. There's no Yisrael come on here. Again, Yisrael come on means, like, see what, you know, I see the sort of the source of the suffix. Here, it's more than Yisrael come on. There's no suffix. There's no doubt that one of those pieces is non-kosher. No. It's not that we're not sure. Our three pieces, I don't know where they came from or which store they're kosher, not kosher. That's a different case. Here, I know about those. One of those pieces, you know, the housekeeper came with a hamburger from McDonald's and put it in the kitchen and the fridge. The son got mixed up with our hamburger. So we know for sure there's a piece of non-kosher. It's more than a second. It's a bigger chiddush. Now, the question is, where does the rush come up with that? I mean, that's quite a facility. So the rush, you know, that's what he said. Okay, but still, you gotta have a mocher. The Gemara never says that. That's what I'm saying. The Gemara never seems to go that far to say that there's a cost of, you know, this, what's the slaughter behind it? I mean, what's the right?
Right.
Magnifying or something like that. That thing is straight from a Kaddish Rosh's knowledge.
Right.
So I think this is what's going on here. There's a mechanism.
Yes. But what? Right. No, but
And
again, a little bit, where does Rosh get it from? I mean, it's what's his mucker for a thing, a strong. So, in the Chidushan of Chaim, Chaim Salvech, Chidusha Grat, not in his parish on the Rambam, but in his collected things on the Sugis and the Gemara, he points to, he says there's a mucker and a tosis in Bava Kama. The following. So I'm going to stand again because we'll talk about rogue tonight. So I want to talk about how rogue works. Basically, Chaim says, as you know, there are different applications of rogue. Sometimes the rule is, Halech achar harov. We follow the rove. In other words, Azlil and Vasa Ruba. Right? But there's also another type of rove. There's something called, in Halacha, called Rubo Kikulo. Rubo Kikulo. I'll give you an example. It's all about Shechita. Okay? You're supposed to shech two simonim, two, the windpipe and the esophagus, the trachea and the esophagus. Right? That's supposed to shech. The Kanan of Eshe, in the biblical terminology. And you have to cut the whole thing. But what if you only cut part of it? Again, that's the sugar of the first type of chulin. As long as you cut the rove, then it's considered like you cut the whole thing. You did the majukah 51%, you're done. I'll give a more practical example. On Pesach, okay, we have to drink 4 cups of wine. You're supposed to drink 4 full cups of wine. If you drink rove chulin, that's good enough because rubo kikulo. Rubo kikulo. Right? That's a slight point. I mean, you know, again, that's the difference. One of the differences in Pesach night and regular Friday night with Kiddush. Regular Friday night with Kiddush, you only have to drink a sip. You don't have to drink the whole cup or even roll over the cup. So here, there are other things you don't have to. Pesach night, you're supposed to drink the whole cup. If not, because Pesach night, again, is aside from the Kiddush, it's supposed to have a toast. It's supposed to have a different, you know, set of rules. So Pesach night, the rules are different. That's also why Pesach night, regular Friday night, not everybody at the table has to drink. But so one person drinks. If many people, they hear that you pass it around or whatever, good. But a Pesach, everybody has to drink. Everyone at the table has to drink. Cause, you know, preferably the whole cup. Preferably the whole cup. But if you couldn't, you know, no one has to, you have to have an enormous cup. I mean, cup is, you know, right. Okay, you're right. Yeah, that's based on also. But you're right. That's for a different reason. Not for the drinking. It's just for the covet of the kosher. It's not called a kosher bracha without that, whatever. Technical. But you're right. The only thing it's called melo lugmo. It's called cheekful. It's sweet. But anyway, so that's called rubo kiko. Once I drank most of the cup, consider like I drank. That's not the same as halech achar harov. You know, but it's a similar idea that the rove. So Chaim says the following. What is it Chaim says? There's a toast of a kamadam chav zayin on the base. I'll read the words of Chaim inside. He says, you know, we have a rule by Dine Mominus, it's in a few places, but toast is talking about a kamadam chav zayin on the base, that ain't hochem the mamon achar haro. Yeah, ain't no from mammon after a rove.
When it comes to monetary matters, you don't follow the rove. Ain't no from mammon. And monetary matters, again, it's what different cases are, but we don't follow in being mammonist the rove. And Tosfos talks about the difference between the parshas being mammonist. Anyway, in that context, it's Tosfos. Well, wait 1 second. What do you mean? We don't follow the rove. What about a bezdin in a monetary case? We will follow the rove in the decision of the bezdin. He owes $1,000. The court will listen to the bezdin. Will listen to the case, and they'll say he has to pay him. Doesn't have to pay him. Whatever. We do follow the rove. So he says it's different. Listen to the words he tells me. Shlomar the hasam, dabi dayanim, shiny the chashidim niyot didhu kemi she'eno. When you have a court case and the majority rule, the minority opinion is totally disregarded. It's as if they didn't exist. As if they didn't exist. So the truth of the matter is, says the Tosfos, and this is what Chaim explains, you're not following the majority in the court case. Once the majority rules, it was a unanimous rule. It's not like, right, exactly. In American court, the Supreme Court decisions, so someone writes the position of the dissenting. So it's 5-4, so that, you know, no one has to write these. But in Jewish law, it's unanimous. Every case unanimous. Even if, but once the vote was taken, the Chaim writes as follows: the Nira, the Hina, this is the Kedusha Graf Os Reish Chaf Es. Okay, in the regular Kedusha Graf, he says Nira, the Hina, the Tosfos teaches you Eich Mahani Rov Dayanim Mamon. How can you follow the majority of the Dayanim in a monetary case? But Ein Hochem Mamon Acha Rov the Tirtu. The shiny rule with the Dayanim, Rov by Dayanim is different. The Chosher Mir Tirtu Kmishenu. The Bir Divrayim Nira, the Hina Beruva Ikatreig Out. Chaim says there are two, different roles. Shehu mevarer u'machuya es hasafik. The role clarifies the doubt for us. Okay, or B, as a base, b'midin lo shaykh klal safik. Okay, there's no safik. The guy shechted 51%. You know, go on the sheep to see on it. The kaimel and ruvo kakulo. It's not a safik. It's not what we need. He shechted 51. It's a fact. There's no argument, there's no doubt. There's no, he checked it 51%. So he said, we're going to go to the chain. The taruva is lost for after about the maruva. Off of God, they don't suffer. There's no suffer. The pshito on the left of you see on him. He knows that he didn't check the minority of the organs. He checked them, but now we know it. But here, too, we know that there's a meat of Isser. There's one piece of meat in this thing. L'chor tamo, heichan masin amokal arov zeh. Where? He says, we near it, he near makal adin, no, sin amokal, me'achar avalatos. The shom masinu, there are two different dinim, two different, totally different types of acher rav lahatos. Again, coming back to our opponents. Well, shneim, chal din echel, yafir rav lahatos. There are two different types of rov, there are two different types of dinim, but he said, that's what the Ruch Chaim says. So he says, for example, in it says that in order to execute somebody, you have to have a bezin of 23, right? So he says, let's say the vote was 15 to 8. You don't have 23. How could you execute the guy? You don't have 23? Right? You have to meet 23. It says, Mine kasha echazin of Vasarov, hachasim, minyan sanhedrin. The chasim is for Dayanim. Okay? He says, no. It's a lavada, pshit, the kevadik, exeris hakosu, zina kachakas, sanhedrin. The gam dinachon hazo is yeshlam. It's as if you have it. In other words, what Reb Chaim is arguing, and Reb Shimon Shkuf says similarly in the Shara Yosher, okay, in the Shara Gimel, Perak Dalet, Osamahal, Salabay, you also see two different dinim. There's a dinim, Alechacharov, okay, and there's a din of Bittelbarov. He says there's two different dinim. Both learn from our pasuk. Okay, but they're two different things. Okay? Ruba Kakulo is Bittel works based on Ruba Kakulo. Okay? And that's basically what Chaim is saying. And he said, and that's the rush. That's the rush. And a Chanani. All three pieces. In other words, the minority takes on, it's not magic, the minority takes, I'm just giving a logical okay, he doesn't. The rush, right? It's nepach iser. We all said that. So he just convinced the mechanics of it. The way it works is that the minority takes on the properties of the majority. Like in a court case, as if all 23 voted to whatever. Right? That's the mechanism. That's right. Okay. So yeah.
So then everybody, it's what the problem is that everybody,
yes.
Just like the 15 to 8, whatever the numbers are,
right.
that breaks down to transferred to the person that received the verdict. It he's totally that.
Yeah, he's innocent. Come on. Exactly right. So that, again, is the Shemesh Kof, the same thing as Shari Yosher, that there's a difference between Halecha, Harov, and Bittubro. Bittubro, he said, is a din like Rubo, like similar conceptually, Rubo Kukula. Bukhar Wasson also, in Kovit Shirv and Psochem, Oz Kufte Beis, also makes such a code. It's like an Achronish, a type of killer. Now, full disclosure, as brilliant as this is, there are Rishonim who just don't go for this rush. You know, I mean, the Rashba, for example, in the Taurus Habayis HaKotzer, the Taurus Habayis and the Rashba's Magnum's work on the Postochol, the Parovis. So the Taurus Habayis HaKotzer, the shorter version, by his knowledge, Shar Aleph, Abdul Bey, the page. He writes, the Chain called Shari Sum, she's already out of the tail, I feel Echo with Top Time, I feel it's so the rain and Khan. With the Raisa, if it's Yavish, Piyavish means not, Yavish, Piyavish means a mixture where every item retains its identity. Well, some is spilled into a soup, so let's say a non-kosher soup spills into kosher soup, they're all dissipate. You can't, you know, but when you have yavish b'yavish, everything is solid, so the, you know, yeah. You can take it out. Of course, if you know which one it is, you take it out. But if you don't know, you don't know. What I'm saying there, we say, midoraisa, chad b'tvei bata, and even the rabbanim also go first. So it's all three are good. Okay, but the Rashba says when we say all
these things, what he's trying to do, the compound and the mix.
Yes, the compound, if you can see the compound, you leave it alone. It's okay. Now, but the Rashba says, it's follows, how does it work? What? I think Kilo Bidor is the cooler in this case. You should call Echad Omer Basmo, but call Echad Bisne Asmo. The Kavish is about to erode. The Vartor, the Inkani is a Sotor, because Echad Chani Omer, there was no answer. Okay, when I have three pieces of meat, our case, I take the first piece out, and I say, no. The robe is, odds are there's a piece of kosher meat, of course, I eat it. I come to the second. This was one of the three. Well, there's only one non-kosher. Odds are it's a kosher piece of meat. I can eat it. And even the third one, you could say, well, probably one of the other ones was a non-kosher meat. Odds are this piece of kosher meat. So the Rashba says, each one, I feel about Achon, I'm a Mashenech, or Rishon, who else is it? Uqba Halakom, is that what I have came with Dvar HaNivlov, and you can't say that same when things are intermixed. Because this is the Rashba. The Rashba says, but
if it's liquid,
liquid don't work. Liquid don't work. So we'll get back to liquid in a second. Liquid is actually says, Masha'in came to dwell on Nivlowin. Nivlowin, when they're intermingled, it all comes into the figure and they can't do it. Okay? But he says, but the Rashba says over there also, one second. But he just says, no. But the Xeris HaKos of Achor HaBahatos is that I can look at each piece when I eat it, when each piece is eaten individually. But then you can say each time this was a kosher piece. But the Rashba in the Torah by the Aruch, I'm saying Yudzayin and Aruch, end of the edition, says the same idea, right? You can say each piece by itself, I'll eat it by itself, and each time I'll say this is not the kosher one. But the Rashba seems to say that this is a regular din of Halecha for Harov. And we would not agree that one person can eat all three at the same time. You can't. Because that, No, but he says the third one. No, but he says that if you can't eat all three at the same time because what's that? Oh, so there. But a different time. Right. Right. So the question is, how far do you go? When is the new situation go? He does not. He says there's a regular din of halecha haroves here. Okay. Each piece I look at. This is one of the rows. This is one of the two. Two to one. This is one of the two. Oh, this is one of the two. Is one or two. When you eat it together, no, that's how he understands the Achor HaMatos. Each piece I look at individually and say, this is, you eat them all together, then for sure you can't do that. That's what he says. In fact,
he doesn't hold by the left side.
No. Right, that's correct. It's the greatest one. In fact, the post is written. There's a toast that's written by the Basra.
At the end of the day, the spoon is something.
But each, that he allows. Because again, each time, at that moment, we're saying this is one of the. Could be what I ate before was no good. Oh, well, that was a half hour ago. But now I'm looking right now. Each you looking right now. In fact, the toast is written in Baba Basra, that Lama Lama Bay, do I say? He says, in Adam Echo Ochos Loston, it may be Chapa. He says, if one person ate, just to bring a cup of chafetz, you ate trace. Okay, he doesn't go, he goes even further. He says, you've got. Oh, it's a problem. But it's not exactly what's a problem. Anyway. Right,
He said, therefore,
if you know them, but here it says
one person for sure can't beat them. The Rashbah seems to allow one person to beat them, okay? But individually, not to cook them together and not to eat them together, because that's, again, he says, the Rashbah is Dafka Lecho Kol Achas and Ash, Ava Levashlam Yachad. Also, sorry, is there it was Arab and Hetar, Arab Kishari, so on and low. Yeah. Right, but now, but again, here you know that this is non-kosher food. So how could you go ahead and eat? Okay, so one second. So just hold it. Here's our problem. So, in any event, this is a famous machlokas, the Rosh and other Rishonim. And there's some of us that agree to us, the Rosh and other Rishonim, with regard to Yavish B'Yavish. And again, it boils down to how you understand what is meant by Achar Ma'atos. So Chaim holds in explaining the Rosh that Achar Ma'atos here is not a din of Halech Achar Harov, but rather a din of Rubo Kikulo. Likewise, Rubo Kikulo. So there's two kosher pieces meet, one non-kosher meat, the Rosh. So the Marari takes on and that's the Rosh of Roshim. Now, what about Lach? What about the Barovus of Wish? According to the Rosh, no problem. Same thing. Rechaim explained the Rosh, the same thing. Like, Rechaim just explained the Rosh, but yeah. I don't know what he person, but he explained. Yes, that's the language of Rosh. Napach is the Rosh. That Rosh, yeah. We were talking, when you were out, we were trying to say, where did the Rosh get that from? It's magic? No. That's not what he wanted to say, but he says, what's the basis? That's what Chaim suggests. It's based on the same thing we have, Ruba Kukula, by some head of Ruba Kukula, by other deal of Ruba Kukula, that's what he says, that's not pretty. I voted right. So once it's done, it's unanimous. It's unanimous. It was a unanimous decision. It was 15-8, but it's called 20-0. Because that's the idea. Okay. So the question about what's a little bit difficult is according to the according to the Rashbah and the Sosgrin and other Rishonim, so what talk can you do in the case of Lach to Lach? Every time you take one bite, you're eating everything at once. So according to the Rashbah, okay. There's no flavor issue. So the question there is, how are you going to be master? According to the Rosh, there's no issue. Napach is still in the center. So it's implied in Lach B'Lach also. Whatever was also now became putter, and you can eat to your heart's content. But according to the, certainly according to the grid, you have to be carbon. Every bite you take, you're taking the heart's content also. So here, there's a tshuva from Yitzhak Hanan. In fact, the truth is there, Yitzchak, Eridayus, and Yud. He has a very fascinating piece of lumber. We'll try and go through it here to make it clear. He says, there is a discussion, probably what we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch, the discussions of Yavish, Lach B'Lach, and Tudor Marriage, which is the Shulchan Aruch, Simon and Eridayus. Anyway, he says, we know that there are two sheep, right? By Yavish, B'Yavish. He's talking about it. Yavish, B'Yavish, that's how Tudor has shown him. That's the Rashbah, right? The heter, the robe, rather, it's like the regular woman is like the regular type of robe, where the robe is mevarer each piece. I want to consider what's the status of this piece of meat. I don't know. Well, I can assume it came from the robe. There were three pieces in the mixture. I know one is great, but this one I'm going to tell you is a kosher piece. I had to look at each piece like that. That's what the right thought. I think the idea is that it's Mavar. It's Mavar is Mutter. Okay, it's Mavar is Mutter. Ushara sheep is others hold the Ister Nepach Leo Tetra. I think it's the world. That's the Raj. That's the other. And again, the way we explain it's not magic. It's a different type of robe. It's not as we live above the room. It's not Halecha Harob. It's Ruba Kikulo. Okay. He refers to a Rambam.
The Rambam appears, we'll play the Ritva Chonim again, it's two experiences in the he says, the Rambam Hilchos Abba Satuma, Shara Abba Satuma, Tarek Abba Halacha, Amri Halacha, Yud Zayin first. They have a case of the following. There's two different types of Tumah that we're going to play with here. Again, just to clarify, Tarovus and Yavish, the Yavish, according to the Rashba, Tosis Rid, it works like the regular Rubad Issa Kaman. I can therefore say in every language that Chazal use, I don't know if it's called the parish, the rubric of parish. When something emerges from somewhere, it emerges from the majority. You have 10 stores. This piece of meat emerged from one of these 10 stores. We have the right to say it emerged from one of the majority stores from the right, right? They said it's the same thing here when I have two, I have 10 pieces of meat on the table. And one of my nose is non-kosher. I'm using your example. One I know is non-kosher. I can keep taking one piece at a time because each one I can say that's from the row and even the last one. But if I eat all 10 pieces, the same person eats all 10 pieces at once, because Rich says you have a chatas. You're not supposed to go that far. Because I thought it would say you can't eat them all at once, but I don't know what he says about the common chatas. The question is,
I'm not going to say, yeah.
Right? That's also a further question. Further question. Quote me, there will be a problem. Anyway, so we have the following. So what if I have, let's say, a meat soup or chicken soup or something like that, and we know that they put three chickens into the soup, and later found out
one of the chickens was traced. Now I have a mix of
halachas. I'm allowed to eat the soup because it's about that one piece of the below. According to the Rosh, I understand. Uba kakulo, nefach is a sense of fun. But according to the Rosh, how do you eat it?
We don't like to put anything together for you.
Now,
in Latin,
but if you have the three pieces of meat,
no, it was cooked. And the soup quite on the table. It's all been cooked there. Now the question is, oh, wait a minute, is it on the table? We realize now one of the three pieces is three chickens. That chicken is
according to our question.
Right, but the halacha is you're allowed to eat the soup. The question is, what has it on the point? Right, that's that question. Here's one that says the following. There's a Rambam
that tells you the following. In Parak,
Nezela, Shinis Arva Bishkuta. We have nevela meat, which has got mixed up with nevela meat, and then meat non-kosher animal was slaughtered, was not slaughtered, it died some other way, which got mixed up with shkuta, regular shechted kosher. He enrolled in a shkuta, the tail of nevela shkuta, and not only that, the ein ha-kol mitame b'maga. There's another din, by tuma. There are two different types of tuma. You're not, of course, I'm called one of them right now. There's a called tumas maga,
that we can't touch, and also it's called tumas masa. Even if I don't touch it, but I carry it, I transport it. I'm no safe to walk on. I transport it.
You know, on my shoulders or whatever, like a weight. I'm not touching it, huh? Or a bag. Right. I'm not touching it, but I'm moving it from one place to the other. So he says, when it comes to Mago, that I'm right, ain't I call Matana the Mago, I'm a Nasa I call Nitma. She EF shall escute the Shatasa Nabela, I'm a Vela at the Tarsa, which is a particular. Explains why, but and then the Rabbi disagrees. But basically, what comes out according to the Rambam holds that if you have a roll of kosher meat and a meat of nevela meat sitting on the table,
and I touch them, okay, I touch this one, I touch this one, I touch this one, and I end up touching them all. I touch them all.
Possibly at the same time, one of these things, but let's turn it out that way. Touch one, and I touch all of them. At the end, I touch all of them. Am I coming? Says the Rambam, no. I'm not. I'm not coming. But let's say you touch each one together. At the end, I touched all five. I definitely touched the non-kosher one. Definitely. Is there a problem with Tumas Maga? No, says the Rabbi. But if I move the table, I do violate Tumas Maga. I am coming of Tumas Maga. So the question is why?
So the question is what? There's a split.
So I understand the first part of the problem. I understand the first part of the problem. Okay, because each piece that I touch, I have the right to say that was not the safe one. And then I touch this one, that was not the safe one. I touch that one.
I have safe trait, but it means the veil, right?
One second, that's what you got.
Two hours later, when I enter the base of doesn't run into a problem.
No, but he's saying you are not Tommy Tumas Maga. So the Kesef Mishnah on the spot quotes in the one of the Shana Marie quotes. He says, right, I'll read the Kesef Mishnah. When we did the Rabbeinu, Shakostav Eina called the Tommy Maga Mashma, Shafila Noga Bechol Azeitim. Okay, he didn't touch all of them. He said he didn't touch them all at the same time. It's okay, but the Yesh is small. My Shomi Masa. Why is it different than Masa? I don't understand. When I pick it up, if I ended up touching them all, why should I still be tar? And by Masa, if I move the table with all of them, I'm not tar. Okay, why is it different? I know. So he says, the Kazo Rikur Kazal Shatam, Shekevan Shatam, the Migis Kazal, the Tumba Chol Zayas. Each Negiya is considered a separate act. I carry them, can't split up the kazetim because I'm carrying the whole thing. Okay, so I told you to no sickle zayas and I'm from Kalahav. Kach nirali. In other words, basically he's saying that the Rambam is like the Rashba. Okay, he's saying that you can distinguish each time you look at each one separately. So each one has its own individual suffix, and that'll be a din. Okay, but Masa is the Vatachas. Masa is carrying all things. So then it's like I'm eating them all at once. Okay, so it's like the Rashba and the Tosafot. It's like eating them all at the same time.
It's not saying that I can look at each one separately.
Each act.
Right.
Right. But when you're carrying it, it's one act.
Right.
You don't
need to
throw
up
the
floor.
Exactly.
So therefore, that's what the problem is. When it comes to lots to lot, okay, so then why should we move it? So now, so Ritzel Chanan says, so far, so good.
Okay. That's a Disney Magan Mas.
Right? The problem is, that was Halacha Yudzai. You look back at Halacha Tedzai. Everyone says it, the Rosh understood. So now, it says, because it has to have a Chris Tisho, you know, five years too. Right? It's Mukha. It's Bertha Moreau.
The
Rosh no problem.
No
problem.
So then, speaking of the
Rabbanim, basically, the problem is that the previous halacha, we're trying to get to that. So the previous halacha in the Rabbanim says, right, says, the hamas is shofach haraz dam. He had an animal that miscarried, okay, and out of that miscarried came, I think it was because out of that animal came the fetus, okay. Which would ordinarily make Yutame and so on, all right? And he says, you have a whole mixture with the blood and everything else, and you picked it up. Ain't on the tama, lo ma'ag, lo ma'ag, so I should be too a snake, so I should have the shape of the fetus, the body. If you should be tailor the robe, hayota ima. Because there it's buffalo the robe. He says, in other words, basically, by with the blood, all this, the animal miscarried it inside of a bucket or a tub or something, was the whole mess, including the fetus. You picked up the whole thing, okay, you're not Tamei Maga or Mas. It says the recourse is the Kesef Mishnah. What's that? No, the Uber is tough. The dead thing.
Okay, now, anyway, so Mutual
Clement says that the recourse says,
we have Tomar, Maishnah, the Rechara, the Sam, the Islam, the Bittabro, Enam, the Tamei, Lobar, and Opasa.
Yeah, the Rambam says it's not the time maga or mas. The halacha ain't bitul of more elamaga but lower mas. It's here for the cookers. The chare is now trying to shabbato bitul kinis arva chare the dam the nimchek plan. The reason why is that by the fetus, which was tummy, was melted or mushed in with the blood, which is not tummy, and therefore you go by the robe. And in that case, there is nothing else to be in the Talmud.
Right? So what the Rambam is saying,
it's lost. Yeah, that's okay. He says, Nimcheh Shem, Aliakol Kmo Hadam, the Ein Kan O Dover Shiitma. And basically what it means is the
Dover Arthur, in that case, loses its halachic identity, it loses its physical identity, therefore loses its halachic identity also. It says that it's the Chonon, that's how you can explain the Rashba, by lach to lach. Now, like, we ask the question, we understand the Rosh, he says, Hetan Epach is understand by lach to lach also. But according to Rashba, that the whole Heter of Yavish, you're touching different pieces, eating the different pieces, each one considered differently, but you can't do that, the lach to lach is all mixed together, he comes up with a different explanation. He says, this is a different type of bittul. Lach to lach is the enema, it's a physical bittul. Physically, let's say in a soup, physically, the Dover HaAser disappeared. And it doesn't quite use the language of Hesha Nefach Yisister, but basically, it's gone. The physical, that he's learning from that Rambam. Okay, right. But the Rosh Bo, you follow, the Rosh Bo is saying, there's the Ritz Chana, the Rosh Bo is saying that the physical item disappeared. It was, you know, there's a big pot of soup, a little bit of trace soup, or whatever, so now the whole thing dissipated, right? So the physical thing no longer exists. Once it no longer exists, so it doesn't halakhically exist either. That's the chiddush, okay? But yavish, you can't say it because it clearly doesn't. That's why yavish, yavish, he has another reason, that you look at each piece individually. We're just trying to explain why the halakha is and it's all mushed together, so then even though I'm supposed to figure out why, we ask how come, he doesn't believe in Hetzer Nefach. He says, there's a hole from that rod. He says, each individual piece is considered separate. Once they're intermingled, you can't do that. There's something else. One based on this Rambam, according to Ritz Chanan. He says, once the physical disappears, so basically, yavish, each piece is separate. By lach to lach, Yisrael loses its status. It's a Messias question. Like Ritz Chanan, in the Kovet Shmuel, the Chul, and Olam Rav, says this. By lach to lach, it's a bitul and Messias. It's not there anymore. Where is it? You can't see it. It's all, you know, it's a bit of a material. Exactly. But there, the robe, you know, goes on the Torah. It's the meal, therefore, doesn't exist anymore. Taka doesn't exist. It physically doesn't exist. If it physically doesn't exist, halacha doesn't exist either. That's basically what comes out with the suggestion. Wow. Yeah, now it's coming a better way. Yeah, I mean, better way. Anyway, these are just,
Anyway, this is just,
I think, some interesting insights into the concept of robe, okay? Well, again, each case you have to look at. Sometimes, depending where it is, sometimes 51-49 is not enough. That's called the rule of the minkura. You know, you have to look at the, you know, different rules.
Anyway, I just wanted to give a little overview on this. The rule, very interesting, a lot of subject. Okay. There's a lot more to say. This is an overview.
And how about